Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwohl, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks recklessly, like the stabbings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is healing." Here we have a proverb with clear antithetic parallelism, where the first line is being contrasted with the second line. The first line describes someone who speaks recklessly. I think this is a great way to render this Hebrew word, which refers to rash, reckless words that are spoken inconsiderately in disregard of their harmful effect, or rash vows that are uttered without proper forethought or careful consideration, or harsh words and extreme overstatements that are spoken rashly in an unrestrained burst of anger. Thus, to speak recklessly consists of impulsive and thoughtless speech with no concern for the effect of one's words on the hearer. It characterizes speech from those who carelessly blurt out whatever they're thinking. When I think about someone who speaks recklessly, my mind immediately thinks about people who drive recklessly. A person who is driving recklessly is swerving all over the road and does not stay in their lane and is completely oblivious to oncoming traffic or traffic that might be coming up behind them. Now, that might be a little bit extreme of a description because there are plenty of ways to drive recklessly without acting like you own the road and nobody else is there but you. For example, driving recklessly can be as simple as drifting left of center or onto the shoulder of the road because we're looking out the window and not watching where we're going. Studies have shown that we tend to move in the direction in which we are visually looking, whether we are walking or riding a bicycle or driving a vehicle. The tendency will be that if we are looking around too much, we will lose track of our orientation and the ability to keep going straight. Now, let's apply this to our conversation and the words that we speak. If we're talking and not being mindful of what we are saying and how we are saying it, it's like driving a car and not focusing on where we're going. If we do that, we're bound to crash into someone or something. When it comes to speaking, crashing into someone or something is the other person. The proverb describes this collision arising from speaking carelessly as being like the stabbings of a sword. Clearly, this is meant to depict serious injury and harm, which speaking reckless words can cause. The Hebrew translated stabbings means piercing through, like being impaled, not just external cuts or gashes. The modern expressions, quote, "they ran me through with their words," end quote, and, quote, "their words cut me like a knife," end quote, are similar to the point being made in the proverb. And so the bottom line is that reckless words can cause deadly injuries and have a lethal effect. But someone might say that people who get so hurt and upset over what someone else says are just being too sensitive, and they shouldn't let what other people say get under their skin as much as they do. When you were a kid, do you remember the sayings, quote, "sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," end quote. Or, quote, "I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you," end quote. I remember these sayings as sort of quick comebacks in response to name-calling or unpleasant jokes that other kids would say to me. Essentially, it was a way to divert the social impact that those words could have if others were present and listening. Or if no one was listening, it was a strategy to deprive the words of their intended effect by acting like they didn't bother me and actually reflected back to the one who said them. But regardless of the circumstances, nothing changed the fact that I didn't like people calling me names or mocking me with their jokes. While it's completely true that people can be overly sensitive and pay way too much attention to every little word people say about them, and read all sorts of unintended meanings into them, it is also equally true that words are potent and can have a significant effect on us. The tongue is indeed powerful, but it depends on how a person uses it. Returning to the proverb, the second line offers the contrast by saying, but the tongue of the wise is healing. Based on the parallelism with the phrase tongue of the wise in the second line, this suggests that the first line is implying that one who speaks recklessly is the tongue of a fool. The word tongue is often used in Proverbs as a metonymy for the words that are spoken by using the tongue. Even in our modern day, we use the word tongue to refer to a language that someone speaks. Like when we say, quote, they're speaking in their mother tongue, end quote. What we mean is that they're speaking their native language. Unlike the destructive power of the fool, whose words injure people like the stabbings of a sword, the words of a wise person have a healing power. It is amazing that words have such far-reaching effects to span the range of being able to destroy on one hand and to give life on the other. This is the truth that Proverbs 18:21 declares when it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." The words that a person speaks have the potential to result in wellness and rejuvenation, or pain and sorrow. The famous American novelist Nathaniel Hawthorne once said, quote, words, so innocent and powerless as they are, as standing in a dictionary, how potent for good and evil they become in the hands of one who knows how to combine them, end quote. And knowing how to properly combine them is the difference between being a fool and being wise. Furthermore, while a fool may inadvertently combine words in an ill way that results in them uttering a word in a reckless manner, they can also combine them in an ill way intentionally, and in doing so, launch a great assault of evil and destruction at the listener. But the wise person knows how to combine words properly, with a view toward benefiting the hearer, and the outcome of their speech is a redeeming one that provides life, strength, and wholeness. However, using our tongue to speak wise words is not something that happens automatically. Our default setting as broken human beings living in a world filled with suffering and pain tends to be foolishness. This is often due to fear or self-centeredness, greed, low self-esteem, poor self-worth, or any other number of unhealthy attitudes, perspectives, or desires that seem to natively reside within us and which we commonly struggle with. In order to speak with wisdom and deliver words that heal, nourish, and build up, we have to have those words living in us first. As life coach Kemi Shigonle aptly said, quote, you can't speak life to others if you don't know how to speak life to yourself. Dead leaves can't breathe, end quote. If we harm and deceive ourselves with our own negative self-talk, then that will be what we, in turn, will do to others. But if we can find and hold on to the words of wisdom that God has spoken and adopt His heart and attitude toward us and others, then God's life-giving words can live in us. And then we can share the words of life with others and see the incredible healing and restoration that only they can give. In order to illustrate this proverb, I want to read a record in the Old Testament that I think perfectly exemplifies both halves of the proverb. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 2 through 35 read, there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very wealthy. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and had a beautiful figure, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Now, David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. You are to tell him, life to you, peace be to you, and peace to your house, and peace be to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did not mistreat them. Nor was there anything missing from them the whole time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. So let the young men find favor in your eyes, for we come at a festive time. please give whatever your hand finds to your servants and to your son, David. So David's young men came and spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David. And then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? These days there are many servants who break away, each one from his lord. Should I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I've killed for my shearers and give it to men who are from I do not know where?" So David's young men turned back on their path and returned and came and told him according to all those words. Then David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And every man strapped on his sword, and David also strapped on his sword. About 400 men followed David, and 200 stayed by the supplies. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to give a greeting of blessing to our Lord, but he shrieked at them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not mistreated, nor did we miss anything the whole time we went around with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall around us, both by night and by day, all the days we were with them keeping the sheep. So now know this and consider what you will do. For evil is determined against our Lord and against all his house. For he is such a son of Belial that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, 5 measures of parched grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and put them on donkeys. Then she said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. It was so, just as she rode on her donkey and came down under the cover of the mountain, that behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. He has returned to me evil for good." Verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed down to the earth. She fell at his feet and said, "On me, my lord, on me be the iniquity. And please let your servant speak in your ears. Hear the words of your servant. Please do not let my lord pay any mind to this man of Belial, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and foolishness is with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see my lord's young men whom you sent. And now, my lord, as Yahweh lives, and as your soul lives, since Yahweh has prevented you from coming into blood guilt and from saving yourself by your own hand, so now let your enemies and those who seek evil against my lord be as Nabal. Now this token of blessing that your servant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who are going about in the footsteps of my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for Yahweh will make, yes, make my lord a lasting house, because my lord fights the battles of Yahweh. May no evil be found in you all your days." Verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is Yahweh, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed is your discernment, and blessed are you, who has kept me this day from coming into blood guilt and from saving myself with my own hand. Indeed, as Yahweh, the God of Israel, lives, who has prevented me from harming you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely there would have not been left to Nabal by the morning so much as one who pisses against a wall." So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. Behold, I have listened to your voice and have granted your request." What a difference in the effect between the words of Nabal and the words of Abigail. Both of them spoke to David, but one was utterly foolish with their words, while the other was very wise. If we're not careful in what we say, we can quickly end up like Nabal, who, to use a modern colloquial saying, quote, stuck both feet in his mouth to the point that you couldn't even see his knees, end quote. But if we are careful with our words and use them in deliberate ways that are aimed at imparting life to the hearer, then we will be like Abigail, able to heal deep wounds and bring peace to a troubled heart. And so, let us speak life with the tongue of the wise. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.